Welcome everyone to this week's weekly market update, January 29th, about noon Central Time with myself and Carl. How are you?
I am doing just swell today, Scott, even though we are having a very cold winter, and hope everyone is staying safe out there with the snow and the ice on the roads. How about you?
Well, same. And I think most of our listeners are probably experiencing the same scenario, but I think there is relief in the future. So we have a obviously with the Fed announcement yesterday, we have a lot to cover, but I wanted to first address just kind of the last 5 trading days for the equity markets in general. S&P unchanged, NASDAQ unchanged, Dow down 1%, so basically unchanged. Russell, interestingly enough, which is our small cap allocation, down 3%, but that is a retracement from an incredible start to the year, up almost 8% in the first month of the year at one point. So just a little bit of a retracement, which is healthy, and we've talked about that in the past. We want to see that. And we have a very directed allocation into that for a very specific reason, which is surrounded by interest rates, and that has to do with the Fed announcement. So this is a great opportunity to jump into Carl's corner.
Yesterday, the Fed decided to not change rates, which is exactly what we were anticipating, and then we've been talking about ever since the December meeting, which is absolutely perfect, exactly what we wanted. And looking at forward probabilities, we are still on pace to not have a first rate cut until about June. There still is that chance for April for the farewell rate cut that Powell may want to do. But Powell is a very data-driven individual. And the data right now, we finally have fully updated data from the government shutdown. And so we're back on track. And everything has been looking really, really good in the Fed's eyes. The reason why they're still hesitant is because there could be some new tariffs coming through and they don't want to beat inflation to the bottom, right? Because the one thing you don't want to do is have interest rates be lower than inflation, at least for an extended period of time. Because then inflation will creep its head back up. And that's the last thing we want after the super inflation we had a couple of years ago of about 8%. And the Fed is very wary of that. Listening to Powell, it was a very, at least the way I took it, Scott, and tell me how you took it, it was a very dovish conversation that he had, a very dovish speech and answers to the questions, meaning we do anticipate extra rate cuts this year due to the data. Because one of the things he said, and I took this very seriously, was when he said that the tariff data points, the tariff inflation, has been pretty much baked in now. And that we're seeing the CPI and the PCE reports now have updated numbers with the original tariffs, which is great because those numbers are still below 3%. And we were worried when these final tariff numbers came out that they were going to creep up, get above 3%, and kick that can down the road for interest rate cuts. But it looks like it's already being baked into these new numbers. What did you think about listening to Powell?
I found it to be very interesting. That's the most relaxed I've ever seen him in that environment, and I guess that's because he knows he's on the way out. But he made some really key points to me. So obviously they operate under a dual mandate, which is essentially the labor market and price volatility or price controls. And what he said about the labor side, I think, was the most important. We've seen lower than, I guess, ideal job openings, but we've also seen lower demand for jobs or interested in finding a job, in other words. So we're seeing actually the labor market just decrease in tandem together, right? From supply and demand. And so I think that's very, very key. So that takes away one side of the dual mandate, right? So then you just have to look at the price controls, essentially just inflation. And that makes their job a lot easier. But he also went on to say, and I felt like this was key as well, he also went on to say that inflation has remained subdued, right? So there is a path forward. for multiple rate cuts this year. Because, again, I'm going to reiterate, the labor side, the unemployment side, has pretty much, it's like it's self-regulating, right? And now, whether that is healthy or not, that's for a different discussion. But that's something they don't have to really weigh in as importantly. Now we're just focused on inflation. And if that's subdued, then there is a case that can be made for multiple rate cuts and will happen, in my opinion, especially when he goes out in May and is replaced by somebody that inevitably is going to be very aggressive with rate cuts. I think at minimum, you tell me what you think. I think at minimum, we see 2 to 3 rate cuts this year.
I am on the two bandwagon. I'm actually looking at the dot plot, which for listeners is when the governors project out 2 to 3 years what they think the rate will be at. And right now you see the majority of the governors sitting between 3 and 3.5. And so I'm on the two board. I think three might be a little much, especially with all the tariff inflation coming through, because there looks like there's going to be even more tariffs coming down the pipeline in 2026. But I do think this year we're going to see the extended about two. Next year we may only see one, and to tell you why, I just when you get that low and inflation is already around three, I don't think you're going to be wanting to go much further down than that. And the dot plot agrees. It looks like right around three is where you start seeing centralized, like we're just not going to go lower than that. And that's where the new Fed chair that's going to be coming through in May might be able to sway some more votes to be able to reduce the cuts, to reduce some more and add more cuts. But this year, I agree, two is where I'm ballparking right now. And I think that's going to be better, right? Because once you are getting to the point where, okay, now you're making small cuts over an extended period of time, that means they have the economy and the numbers right where they want them to.
Yes, I agree. And it is a tricky it's a tricky balance that you have to have there. And again, it gets back to the labor market and inflation. But again, labor market seemingly self-regulating. Inflation, I think, to your point, once you get those rates down to 3%, which I do believe that is very important, I believe that inflation, at least temporarily, starts to self-regulate as well. So, with that being said, just to translate that over into the market, when you do have these rates coming down, what tends to happen, well, what almost always happens, is it pushes equity and treasury prices higher, and in a lot of cases, commodity prices higher. Now, that's a whole different category. But when it comes to equities, one kind of interesting stat that we've co actually covered in the past. We've not actually provided a specific statistic behind it, but we just noticed, you've heard us use the term dispersion, but this is proof of that. So 31% of the S&P outperformed the S&P. So in other words, 31% of the holdings of the S&P actually outperformed the index in 2025. So far, in the first couple of weeks of 2026, it's 64% of those stocks have outperformed the S&P itself, right? So more than double. That's dispersion. That's what you want to see. You want to see a broad market rally, right? And then just to couple that, Carl, in 2025, 3 of the 11 sectors in the S&P actually outperformed the index. So far in 2026, 8 of the 11 have outperformed. So again, dispersion. And we've talked about that basically since 2023, where we wanted to see that kind of like almost like a bell curve. You want to see that dispersion to create a healthy, broad market rally, which is what we are anticipating in 2026 to be a very significant rally, but a broad market rally.
And if we remember The many podcasts we did last year, we discussed how many times it was the top 10 holdings
Oh,
of
yeah.
SPY, which is the Mag 7, that ruled the entire market. And that 2025 S&P was mainly pushed with this Magnificent 7, right? As we said, as NVIDIA goes, so goes the market. And now you're seeing, well, the market is pushing around NVIDIA, right? The market is pushing around the top seven because the top seven haven't performed that well so far this year. And that is fantastic to see. It really is. Now that it's not just going to be, okay, we you know, these seven are going to do great, but the rest of the market is iffy. When you have a solid dispersion out, and like you said, how many was it? 60 are beating the S&P right now?
So far, 64%.
64%. Well, that gives you everything you need to know. That means other industries, like you said, 8 of 11, other industries are outperforming. Industrials are outperforming, right? And that's what you need for a healthy economy and a healthy market. You don't just want to be peppy. You want to be equally dispersed with a little bit of extra on the better stocks. But this is absolutely exactly what we wanted for a solid 2026 that we anticipate.
Well, and two to that point. The top four sectors that are leading this dispersion: materials, energy, industrials, consumer staples. Like that is, we haven't seen those sectors lead the way in probably, I don't quote me on this, but I think that was probably pre-COVID. So this is fantastic. And to the point that you made, 23, 24, and 25, 50% of the gains. 50% of the gains over those 3 years were from those top 10 stocks. That's unhealthy. What we are looking at right now is extremely healthy.
Absolutely. And you can see it because people are pulling out of those top seven and dispersing them out, like we've been talking about. Right? They were overvalued, which we anticipated. The price to earnings or PE ratios were drastically out of whack, throwing the entire S&P numbers out of whack. But we knew the rest of it was going to come along as soon as these inflation numbers came back down. And that's exactly what we're seeing. And that's exactly what we wanted.
That's right. And I guess on a final note, we talked about how we rebalanced into four different interest rate sensitive sectors. And three of those four have really accelerated. I guess for lack of a better word, laggard, but it's flat on the year, is the financials. And that's purely because interest rates haven't actually moved, whereas the other three sectors tend to react to future interest rate adjustments versus actual financials. They're impacted directly, right, in the moment by interest rate adjustments. So, still think that come June, when we do start to see the Fed dramatically reduce rates, which 2 to 3 cuts is dramatic, by the way. But also necessary. So then we'll have all four of those sectors moving in tandem. And that's my way of saying I'm super excited about the allocation. And I really believe that we are going to see an exceptional year this year. Broad market, our portfolios across the board just really have a very positive year that we're going to be very proud of come December of this year.
Absolutely. This portfolio is something we were looking forward to making about halfway through last year is when we really started cranking into what the positions and sectors and industries we wanted to be in. That being said, obviously, we keep our head on a swivel, waiting for any geopolitical things to come down and we'll move as necessary. But if everything stays the same, yes, I feel very, very confident this year.
Me too. And that's a good point. Obviously, we monitored the geopolitical nature of what we are potentially exposed to. But outside of that, very confident about 2026. So, with that, did you have anything else, Carl?
No, I think we got everything covered. I hope everyone stays warm out there as long as the snow and the ice keep falling down. If you think anyone might enjoy our market commentary, feel free to forward us on over to them. We're also on the iHeartRadio app and the Podbean Radio app.
Well, perfect. So with that, then what we're going to do is we're going to wish everyone a happy upcoming Friday and weekend, and we're going to go ahead and look forward to doing this again next week.